Come, Holy Spirit, would you take these words and speak to us through them, I ask, in Jesus' name. I heard a story about a train that had suddenly come to a stop, and the people got up out of their seats and looked out the window to find out why it was stopped, and they quickly sat back down as they realized that robbers were coming onto the train. And so as the robbers were going through, demanding everyone's valuables, their money, their jewelry and everything, they got closer and closer to a man who was sitting next to his friend. And this man was getting a little more nervous as the robbers approached. And finally, when they were almost there, he reached into his wallet and pulled out a $10 bill and turned over to his friend and said, Jim, here's the $10 that I owe you. And so, if I were to title this sermon, I would title it, The Debt That Must Be Paid and The Debt That Can Never Be Paid. When we think about debts, quite often I wonder sometimes if we really are all that concerned about our debts. Sometimes I wonder if we really are even concerned about trying to pay them off. Perhaps we want to wait until the last minute, or wait long enough until our friend might say, oh, just forget about it. In the past, I've borrowed money from someone and really thought about maybe not even paying it back. Turn if you will in your bulletins to page 4. And Paul's letter to the Romans begins in this way, in verse 8. He said, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. In other words, make every effort in your life to be responsible enough to pay off your debts. That's certainly especially applicable if we have any debts that we owe to any person. St. Paul had to remind his people that Christianity is not an excuse for refusing our obligations to our fellow men and women. It is rather a reason for fulfilling them to the utmost. There's nothing that can destroy a friendship faster than an unpaid debt. Even a friendship that is maintained still has that cloud of debt hanging over it. We see this in Jesus telling the parable of the unmerciful servant who was someone who was forgiven a great debt, and yet he was unwilling to forgive a man who owed him a very little debt. And so we see that even though the point of the parable was different, was not the same, we can see that there's still bitterness involved in an unpaid debt. Now, I'm not saying the whole of Scripture does not say that we can never incur financial obligations or borrow from others in the case of need, but it does condemn the looseness with which we contract debts and the indifference so often shown in the discharging of those debts. There are many in our society today that believe that society owes them something, and so they're justified in not paying back their debts. They don't realize that someone has to pay those debts. Recently, the president has proposed the forgiving of student loans. Many people don't realize that when student loans are forgiven, we, the taxpayers, have to pay for those loans that we didn't incur. I believe that we Christians should set an example of how to pay off our debts and also watch our spending. Now, I know I'm probably a little late after Black Friday of saying that, but certainly with Christmas coming up, it's easy for us to use our plastic to run up debts, and which may take years to repay and cost as much in the way of interest that we just can't even imagine it sometimes. Not to mention the fact that it could affect our stewardship to God's kingdom. The next few weeks will be filled with much joy and activity and parties and shopping and visits to Santa. I remember hearing the story of a grandmother who took her granddaughter Anne to shopping one time in a mall. And as they were shopping, little Anne would watch her grandmother buy things and make all sorts of purchases. And finally, it was time for her to go see Santa. So as she was politely giving her list of what she wanted to Santa, when she finished, she got down off his lap and he gave her a large candy cane. What do you say? Her grandmother prompted her. And she kind of furrowed her brow, and then her eyes lit up. She smiled. Oh, yeah, charge it. Well, certainly, let's be mindful of the debts that we incur and be faithful in paying off our debts. Paul said, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt of loving one another. Just as we have material debts which must be paid, we also have a debt which can never be fully repaid, and that is the debt of love. Church Father Origen said this, quote, the debt of love remains with us permanently and never leaves us. This debt which we both discharge every day and forever owe, end quote. The reason we can never repay this debt of love is because it's the love that God has poured out upon us in the forgiveness of our sins, in welcoming us back when we stray away from Him, in providing a home in heaven for us, and His great desire to have a close relationship with us. God has loved us with an everlasting love that we can never repay. When we love the way God wants us to love, we end up keeping the commandments of God. He says, for example, in verse 9, we will not commit adultery, for when two people allow their physical and emotional passions to sweep them away into the arms of another, the reason is not that they love each other too much, but that they love each other too little. In real love, there is at once respect and restraint, which saves from sin. We will not murder, for love never seeks to destroy another, but always build up. It always is kind and will seek to destroy an enemy, not by killing him, but by seeking through the love of Christ to do that which is best for him, and perhaps even win him to the Savior. We will never steal, for love is always more concerned with giving than it is with getting. We'll not covet, for covetousness is the uncontrolled desire for the forbidden thing, and love cleanses the heart until the desire is gone. The end of verse 9 says, all these commandments are summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. I believe it was St. Augustine who said one time, love God and do as you please. We might add to that, love your neighbor as yourself and do as you please. Perhaps what Augustine was talking about here is the idea that when we truly love God and our neighbor, we will not do anything that is forbidden by the commandments. The great theologian Søren Kierkegaard said, most people believe that Christian commandments such as love one's neighbor as oneself are intentionally a little too severe, like setting a clock half an hour ahead to make sure to not be late in the morning, end quote. The only reason these commandments seem a little too severe is that we often try to love God or love our neighbor in our own strength, in our own power, rather than relying upon the love of Jesus within us to reach out to others through us. Elsewhere in the book of Romans, Paul tells us that the love of God is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. A more precise translation of that passage would be, God's love floods our hearts through the Holy Spirit whom He gives us. We're called as believers to let the Holy Spirit flood our hearts with the love of God, and that love will flow out from us as streams into the parched desert of human hearts, thirsting for the love of Jesus. This love is the debt that can never be repaid, because we have a Savior that has bought us with a price. The price of His love is His death on the cross. It is indeed a debt which can never be repaid, and yet a debt in which we're constantly paying on it. The legal tender we use to pay off this debt is simply to love. To love God and to love our neighbor. This being the first Sunday of Advent is also a time of new beginnings. It's the first Sunday in the church year. It's also the beginning of the Christmas season. Our gospel lesson reminds us that Christ will be coming back for His church. As we renew our commitment to love God and others, we might just have the opportunity to help those outside the kingdom of God to experience the love of Jesus personally for themselves. Let's also make Advent a time in which we resolve to let no debt remain outstanding except the debt to love one another. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You that You have loved us unconditionally. You have loved us in spite of the fact that we've not always loved You. You've loved us so much that You were willing to die on the cross to show us the depth of Your love. Lord, You've asked us to love one another and to love others as well. Lord, we know we can only do that the way you want us to do that, through your strength and your power. Lord, we know that you've given us the Holy Spirit to live inside of us. But Lord, we often don't let the Holy Spirit and your love flow out through us. Would you show us how we might be more open to allowing your love to flow through us to touch the lives of others? Would you show us how we might be better able to love you the way you want us to love you? And ultimately, Lord, help us to let no debt remain outstanding except for the debt to love one another. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.